Welcome back to another episode of What's Going On in the World. I'm your host, Tommy J. Houseman. Today is Thursday, December 12th, 2024. And let's jump right in to what's going on in the world. It seems we have some Israeli airstrikes in Syria in the aftermath of Bashar al-Assad's regime collapse. Israel has launched a targeted airstrikes near Damascus. The goal is to prevent military assets from falling into extremist hands amidst Syria's powerful vacuum. Israeli troops have also advanced slightly beyond the Golan Heights buffer zone, citing security concerns. Meanwhile, international players, including the U.S., are closely monitoring the situation to prevent further escalation in the already volatile region. Malibu wildfire prompts evacuations. So, a massive wildfire dubbed the Franklin Fire has engulfed over 4,000 acres in Malibu, California, forcing the evacuation of over 6,000 residents, including high-profile celebrities. Firefighters, aided by favorable weather conditions, are battling the blaze, which has already destroyed 9 structures. While no injuries have been reported, the cause of the fire remains under investigation. Residents and authorities are on high alert, bracing for possible flare-ups as containment efforts continue. Russian missile attack in Zaporizhia. I can't even attempt to pronounce this. Zaporizhia. A deadly Russian missile strike in the Ukrainian city of Zaporizhia has killed at least 6 people, with others still trapped under rubble. The attack targeted a clinic, leaving the local community devastated. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky visited frontline artillery units in the region, where ongoing battles with Russian forces continue to escalate. This strike highlights the continued toll on civilians as the war grinds on. So, there's post-election unrest in Ghana. Ghana, a country often hailed for its democratic stability, is grappling with unrest following the election of President-elect John Mahama. Protests have erupted, leading to the arrest of dozens of supporters. Authorities are working to manage tensions during this political transition while preserving the nation's reputation for peace. The unrest underscores the challenge of maintaining stability in democracies during contested election periods, which we know all about that here in the United States now, don't we? There's a dengue fever outbreak in the Americas. The Americas are experiencing an unprecedented dengue fever outbreak, with over 12.6 million cases and approximately 7,700 deaths. Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, and Mexico account for the majority of cases. Children are particularly vulnerable, making up a significant portion of the fatalities. Health officials attribute the outbreak to climate changes, poor waste management, and rapid urbanization. Efforts are underway to control the epidemic, but the scale poses a major challenge to public health systems. We'll look a little deeper into this for next time. Biden is attending some Middle East diplomatic efforts right now. With just weeks left in President Biden's term, top officials, including National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and Secretary of State Antony Blinken, they are visiting the Middle East. Their mission: broker an Israel-Hamas ceasefire, negotiate the release of hostages held by Hamas, and discuss Syria's future post-Assad. These efforts aim to end the war in Gaza and ensure a smooth transition of power in Syria. The Biden administration has briefed Trump's incoming team, but refrains from direct coordination. Meanwhile, Trump has promised a strong action if hostages are not released by his inauguration. Sure. So, there's a decline in U.S. math scores. The latest trends in international mathematics and science study, TIMSS, reveals a steep decline in U.S. 4th and 8th grade math scores. American students now lag behind their peers in Singapore, South Korea, and Poland. The pandemic exacerbated existing education gaps, particularly between affluent and low-income students. Critics argue that both political parties have failed to address the crisis, with Republicans focused on cultural issues and Democrats hesitant to confront the educational establishment. The growing achievement gap threatens the country's long-term competitiveness. Well, there's lots of things to dive in here about our educational system here in the United States. And we just don't have time for that today, but I think we could probably set up a whole another episode to talk about some of these issues. So, Arizona's lawsuit against a Saudi firm. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays has filed a lawsuit against Saudi company accused of over-pumping groundwater in La Paz County. The excessive water poses risks to public health and safety in the state, already grappling with severe water shortages. The case highlights growing tensions of water rights in the arid Southwest. And in related news, Brooks and Kopeka and Bryson Nichimwa will face off against Scotty Sherliff and Rory McClory in a LIV PGA match in Nevada, and drawing attention to the high-stakes competitions beyond the courtroom. Okay, sure. So, NATO's increased defense spending. NATO is considering raising its defense spending target from 2% to 3% of GDP by 2030, partly in anticipation of Donald Trump's return to the U.S. presidency. Currently, only 23 of NATO's 32 members meet the existing 2% target. The proposal comes as European nations face rising military expenditures due to the war in Ukraine. Meanwhile, Syria's acting finance minister announced the reopening of critical border crossing with Jordan, signaling potential relief of food shortages in the region. All right, we're going to move on to some more U.S. issues that are going to be a little more in-depth. Because we just live in an insane time. So the New York Post recently published an article claiming that under the Biden administration, the United States has experienced its largest immigration surge in history, with net migration expected to exceed 8 million people. This assertion has been widely criticized for misrepresenting immigration data and contributing to misinformation. This bullshit is exactly why we are getting ready to have a person that speaks and writes and reads at a sixth grade level to be president in January. This right here. Because people that are supposed to be responsible and ethical to report reliable information have convinced 54% of our population that reads at a sixth grade level that they have something to fear. Because fear is the grand motivator here and has been for the past decade. So there's a misrepresentation of encounters. The figure cited by the New York Post often refers to encounters reported by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the CBP. However, encounters include both individuals apprehended and those immediately expelled or turned away. Counting events rather than unique individuals, this can lead to an inflated number due to repeat attempts by the same individuals. PolitiFact explains that encounters represent events, not individual people, and millions of encounters result in people being deported from the country. Actual numbers of release into the U.S. FactCheck.org reports that between February 2021 and October of 2024, there were approximately 6.5 million encounters at the U.S.-Mexico border. Of these, about 2.5 million individuals were released into the U.S., significantly lower than the 8 million claimed by the New York Post that unethically and dangerously reported something that's not true. Historical context, the Migration Policy Institute indicates that in 2022, the foreign-born population in the U.S. was about 46.2 million, comprising 13.9% of the total population. This percentage is below the historical peak of 14.8% in 1890, contradicting the claims of unprecedented levels. The impact of this type of information, articles like this one from the New York Post, contribute to a distorted perception of immigration, fueling unfounded fears and xenophobia. This environment of misinformation can influence public opinion and policy, leading to the election of leaders who exploit these fears. For instance, the spread of misleading information about immigration has been linked to the rise of political figures who capitalize on such narratives, often resulting in policies that do not align with factual data. So, this is dangerous to do things like this, because you know who is responsible for about 60% of violent crime in the United States? White people. White people are responsible for about 60% on average, just right about there, of violent crime in the United States. Do you know who is responsible for less than 1% of violent crime in the United States? Undocumented immigrants. Immigrants in general commit crime at a lower rate because they want to be here. It's a no-brainer, really, because if you're fleeing danger because there's danger for where you're from and you want to live a better life, why ruin it by committing crime? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's not crime committed by undocumented people and that there's not crime committed by people that are from other places. There is, but you have taken this small amount of crime, this very, very small amount of crime, and made it to like it is the number one danger in our country, when the number one danger in our country is white people. So I think you need to take a hard look at yourself and learn to be a better person, because racism is ugly. President-elect Donald Trump's recent appointments have raised significant concerns due to the controversial backgrounds of the appointees and the potential conflicts of interest. So let's dive into this. Howard Lutnick, he's been nominated to be the Secretary of Commerce. Howard Lutnick, the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald, has been nominated as Secretary of Commerce. Under his leadership, Cantor Fitzgerald has managed a portion of Tether's reserves, a cryptocurrency wildly used by criminal organizations, including drug cartels and sanctioned entities. This association raises concerns about potential conflicts of interest and the facilitation of illicit financial activities. That makes perfect sense to nominate somebody like that, doesn't it? Secretary of Commerce, somebody that helps drug cartels launder money. Great. Carrie Lake, the biggest liar, and that has lost the past two elections, her past two elections in Arizona. She's been nominated to be the director of Voice of America. Voice of America. For those of you that don't know, we have a Voice of America broadcast that is aimed at about 48 million different people or 48 million different places. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's directed towards people that do not live in the United States. So it's the Voice of America. It's our radio station to everybody that doesn't live here. Carrie Lake, a former news anchor and advocate of strict immigration policies, has been appointed to lead the Voice of America. She has a history of disseminating misinformation, including false claims about COVID-19, and has supported unfounded allegations of electoral fraud. Her appointment raises concerns about the potential compromise of VOA's journalistic integrity and its mission to provide unbiased news globally, which, if she's in charge, it definitely will not. It will be lies and propaganda. Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence. Yeah, that's right. Former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard's nomination of Director of National Intelligence has drawn bipartisan concern. Her 2017 meeting with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, the one that just left Syria, a leader accused of war crimes, and her subsequent defense of the meeting have been criticized as aligning with Russian narratives. Additionally, reports indicate that Gabbard regularly consumed and shared content from Russia's state media, raising questions about her judgment and potential susceptibility to foreign influence. Yeah. Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense. That's what he's nominated for. I mean, to put it bluntly and to keep it short, I mean, he's been accused of sexual assault and he's an alcoholic. Pete Hegseth, a former Fox News host, has been nominated for Secretary of Defense. His tenure as president of the Concerned Veterans for America ended amid allegations of alcohol abuse, sexual misconduct, and financial mismanagement. Although some former colleagues dispute these claims, the allegations have raised concerns about his suitability to lead the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense, alcoholism, financial mismanagement, and sexual abuse. Secretary of Defense. Tom Barrack, ambassador to Turkey. Tom Barrack, a private equity executive and close confidant of Trump, has been appointed as ambassador to Turkey. He was previously acquitted of charges of acting unlawfully as an agent to the United Arab Emirates. However, his extensive business dealings in the Middle East present potential conflicts of interest, which could complicate U.S.-Turkey relations and diplomatic efforts in the region. So, a guy that accepts bribes from other countries. Great. Let's make him ambassador to Turkey. This is what happens. This is what happens when you let fear rule your life. When you don't take the time to understand what a criminal, because we elected a criminal to be president of the United States, and we elected a person known for sexual assault and abuse of women to be president of the United States. We elected a known liar to be president of the United States. Why do you not think that he would select known liars, sexual assaulters, and criminals? Why do you think that he wouldn't appoint people that are just like him? Those are the people he can control. Congratulations, America. In recent weeks, residents across New Jersey have reported sightings of large, sophisticated drones hovering over various counties, including Morris, Bergen, Sussex, and Somerset. These drones, often described as larger and louder than typical hobbyist models, have been observed near sensitive areas such as military installations and critical infrastructure. Despite investigations by local and federal authorities, including the FBI and the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, the origins and operators of these drones remain unidentified. The mysterious drone activities have led to various speculations and concerns among officials and the public. Some local police chiefs suspect that an initial military exercise at Picatinny Arsenal may have inspired copycat activities. Drone experts suggest that the drone's capabilities imply a military or governmental origin, while communication gaps between federal and local authorities have exacerbated public anxiety. Amid the uncertainty, Representative Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey suggested that the drones might be launched from an Iranian mothership positioned off the U.S. East Coast. He urged that these drones to be shot down due to their potential security threats. However, the Pentagon has refuted these claims, stating there is no evidence supporting the presence of an Iranian vessel or drones targeting the United States. So he just got on TV and said some shit because he felt like it. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy acknowledged the mysterious drone sightings, describing the drones as very sophisticated. He noted that they have the capacity to evade detection by going dark when spotted. While emphasizing that there is no immediate threat to public safety, Governor Murphy confirmed that the local, state, and federal authorities are actively investigating the incidents. The FBI is probing reports of several mysterious nighttime drone flights across central New Jersey, particularly along the Raritan River. Witnesses have described clusters of drones larger than those typically used by hobbyists, as well as possible fixed-wing aircraft. The FAA has implemented drone flight restrictions in the area during the ongoing investigation. These incidents have collectively heightened concerns about airspace security and the potential for unauthorized surveillance or other malicious activities. Authorities continue to investigate to determine the origins and intentions behind the drones operators. If you get on TikTok and you type in drones over New Jersey, you are going to get a flood of new videos about this subject. Some are really far out there. Some claim that they went under the drone and they were healed from all their ailments. People are really, really weird. But there's obviously something going on. It could be something simple. It could be something complex. But the fact that we don't know is kind of worrisome. I mean, I can understand why there's anxiety about a bunch of unknown drones when people don't really know where they're from, and not any of our top agencies in the United States seem to understand where they're coming from, unless it's us that's doing it. So I'm hoping that we come to some sort of conclusion with that soon, because that's an interesting story, and how it's affecting the algorithms of TikTok is really kind of interesting. So that is going to be all for me today. This has been another episode of What's Going On in the World. I'm your host, Tommy J. Houseman. And remember, don't elect evil people to be our representatives, and we won't have such a hard time. Later.